Good morning. Oh, come on. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. There you go. It's amazing. We are in a parking lot, and the first row that got filled up was the back row. We are a typical Baptist. I mean, people were arriving at 8:45 this morning for a 10 o'clock worship service to get the back row for our worship service this morning. That is amazing. And it's typical. It's typical. But we're excited for our worship service this morning. We're excited that you decided to join us for our first outside worship service. We're excited to open back up for worship together as the body of Christ here on the property at First Baptist Elon. We are excited that we are also streaming this service through Facebook Live. And so if you are at home, thank you for joining us this morning for our worship service. And we look forward to the way that God is going to move in our worship service this morning. This is a service that we are going to participate in because for the past couple months, it has been a little bit different because we have been gathering in the sanctuary with about five or six individuals. And so when we've been singing, it's been about three voices. And we haven't had an opportunity to have a congregation sing with us. So you're going to sing with us. You're also going to say amen. You're going to clap your hands. You're going to stand up. You're going to participate in worship because that is what worship is all about. And so we are excited that you decided to join us this morning for worship. And so as we begin, thank you for coming this morning to worship with us. We know that this experience is going to be a little bit different. If you are listening on the radio, I hope you got my message that this morning we are streaming. The radio frequency is 91.3. It's not 91.7 because the frequency for our worship this morning worked a little bit better on this station. So if you were in a car this morning, you were listening to on the radio, if you are hearing this clearly, can you honk your horns? Honk your car horns? That's not good. If you're in your car, there you go, I got it. So, okay, so at least one car can hear this clearly, so that car is going to hear this message wonderfully well, and everybody else will just be, I don't know. But we are excited for our worship experience this morning. But as our welcome this morning, I also wanted to share a couple things that are going on in Life Our Church during this time. One thing that I know many people have been coming by our sanctuary, our service, our church during the week, and picking up some of the literature that that you use on a daily basis, the devotionals and the Sunday school literature as well. If you have not come by over these past couple weeks, we do have that literature for you to pick up this morning. So after the worship service this morning, if you want to pick up that material, what I'm going to encourage you to do is to exit down the lower parking lot, and I am going to meet you at the door down at the bottom, and everybody just kind of stream out that way, and I'll hand deliver that material as well. Some of you have already picked up that material, and you can exit the parking lot at our upper parking lot, but if you want to pick up that material immediately following worship this morning, you can go out that way. Another thing that you may not be aware of as this. There is going to be another worship service that's going to take place this afternoon at 2 p.m. on Facebook Live. And this is something that I'm excited about. During the midst of this pandemic, sometimes we don't get the opportunity to do services like we normally would do it. And one of our beloved members who's had some health issues over the last couple months, he has given his life to the Lord. And so this afternoon at 2 o'clock, I have the great honor of baptizing Carlos Dishman. And many of you know Carlos. Carlos has had some health issues. And this is a first. I'm actually going to do a baptism in his garage this afternoon at 2 p.m. And so that's an amen. So everybody say amen. 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 So this afternoon at 2 p.m., if you have Facebook Live, and many of you have Facebook Live this morning, if you have Facebook Live, I want you to go on Facebook Live at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and we're going to have a creative baptism service this afternoon at 2 p.m. for Carlos. And so anyway, I'm excited about that. So join me at 2 p.m. for that worship experience this afternoon. But anyway, those are a couple things that are going on in the life of our church. But we're excited about an opportunity to worship outside. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day. So let's worship the Lord this morning. Well, good morning.
Like David said, it is a great day.
Can't see.
Can't see.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Good morning, First Baptist. How are you?
Good.
All right, can you hear me? All right. Our first song, we're going to sing two songs back to back. Our first song is Bless the Lord, O My Soul. You know the words. We've sung it 100 times. If you're able, please stand and let's sing together.
Thank you. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to join.
One thing I forgot to mention this morning, and Jay, I'm going to back me off a little bit. One thing I forgot to mention this morning is each Sunday, Janice is actually going to email out the bulletin in advance. So you will have that bulletin that you can actually print out if you want to bring it with you. Also, you can go to our website each Sunday morning, and you can actually just click on our main page. You'll see the bulletin. You can just click on it. You can pull that bulletin up. So you will know in advance what our service is going to look like for that Sunday morning. All the words for our songs that we will be singing will be right there. So there will be no excuse for you not to have the words to sing along. So Gay may say, we've sung the song 50 times, and every Sunday I say, Gay, we may have sung it 50 times, but they still don't know the words, right? We argue about that every single Sunday. Well, they still don't know the words. So you will have it in advance, so you'll have the words in advance for that. So this morning, our opening scripture passage comes from Psalm 8. It's a song that is very fitting for this Sunday as we gather outside to worship the Lord. Psalm 8 says this, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, and flocks and herds and the beasts of the fields, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. All that swim the paths of the sea, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This morning as I arrived here to start getting things ready for the worship service this morning, it was quiet except for the birds that were chirping. The birds were already praising the Lord this morning before any of us arrived. Before I even arrived, the birds were already praising the Lord for his creation. And that is what true worship is. God's creation was worshiping the Lord this morning. So it's not just us singing this morning. Listen to the birds. Listen to the creation of God worshiping the Lord this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, words are not enough to express your awesomeness, your majesty, your holiness. Our highest expressions of theology are just baby talk next to who you are. Your creation, your very self, make us aware through your Holy Spirit that you are here among us. May this awareness lead us to approach this hour, this time, more carefully. The words that we speak, the songs that we just sung, and the songs that we will sing, the thoughts that we think, the joy and sadness that we feel, may these be pleasing to you. For in spite of the inadequacy of the words that we speak, Father, this worship is addressed to you. It's not about us. It's not about the people that we're sitting beside. It's only about you. Make it complete, whole, filling, full to overflowing. O God, our rock, our Redeemer, and our Creator. In Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Have I told you how good it is to see you all? I'm having mic troubles. I don't know what's wrong. Not wrong.
Did I tell you how good it is to see you all? It is so good to see each and every one of you here this morning. And thank you for being here this morning. Next song we're going to sing is How Majestic Is Your Name, going into Glorious Is Thy Name.
Our ministry highlight this morning is actually an event that takes place starting next Sunday. Next Sunday, June 14th, we will be kicking off a five-day food collection for the Salvation Army. From June 14th to June 18th, we will be collecting food pantry items like cereal, canned meats, spaghetti sauce and noodles, Chef Boyardee meals, macaroni and cheese, Pop-Tarts, canned fruits and vegetables, crackers and cookie snack packs like Nabs. Starting next Sunday morning, actually at next Sunday morning's worship service here in the parking lot, we will have boxes that you can bring canned food items. Those food items we just talked about, you can drop them off here at our worship service. And then from Monday through Thursday, we will actually have boxes right down at the bottom of the hill here, right outside the glass door underneath the awning, from 8:30 to 4 o'clock every single day. You can drop by, swing by. You don't even have to ring the doorbell. You can just drop those items off in those boxes. We're collecting those food items for Salvation Army because during the year, they receive food items, collection items from some national organizations. But during this time, some of those national organizations aren't able to provide the items that Salvation Army usually receives. And so we're going to try to assist them in this time where they're running low on food. So what we're asking, if you can collect those items this week and start dropping those items off next Sunday. We've already had a lot of items come in already this week because those items were communicated in the newsletter. You can find a list of those items in your newsletter. Also, they can be found on your bulletin for this Sunday. They're in a little box on your bulletin on the second page. We'll also have those items listed on the bulletin next week as well. So just in case, start bringing those items next Sunday. If you forget next Sunday, that's okay. We'll have those boxes at the bottom of the hill next week, Monday through Thursday. And please assist in this collection. And we look forward to helping the Salvation Army in this need right now. Our offertory hymn this morning is "Oh, How I Love Jesus." I'm going to ask everybody to stand up for a second. Stand up and stretch those legs. We'll get a little bit comfortable, and then we're going to get settled in, and then we kind of like, all right, stretch those legs. David's about to preach. I don't need anybody to fall asleep. I may get my chorus of cars over here to start blowing the horns a little bit to keep everybody awake. That's their amen. All right. Now, we're coming to the offering time, and this is how we're going to do the offering. If you brought your offering with you and you're able to come up and you want to come up, we've got a little church over here that you can come and drop your offering in just a moment after the offertory prayer. If you don't feel comfortable coming up and bringing your offering in, Tommy and Liz Hill have volunteered that they will come to you and bring a basket, and you can place your offering in the basket, and then they'll bring that forward. But that's how we're going to do the offering today. Bert is going to play our special music in our offertory this morning during this time. But if you will, just bow with me. And if you don't feel comfortable bringing that offering forward, all we ask you to do is, if you're in a car especially, just wave your hand out the window, and they will come to you, okay? You don't have to do that. If you're sitting up here, just kind of wave your hand up in the air. Tommy and Liz will keep an eye on that, and they'll come to you to bring that offering, okay? Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for this beautiful day you blessed us with. It is a wonderful opportunity to gather in your creation to worship. It is good to sing songs that praise you. It is good to read your word. It is good to gather as the body of Christ. Father, whether we are here, whether we are gathered at home, as we watch on Facebook Live, wherever we are the body of Christ, and we worship you and we give you thanks. As we come to that time of the service where we return a portion of those offerings to you this day, we give you thanks for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. But we also recognize that the offerings that we bring are not just what we place in the offering baskets today, it's what we do with our lives, because that's what you've challenged us to do. That's what you call us to do. So may our lives be an offering to you this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. If you will, let's pray. Father, we just ask that as we come to this time of the service where we once again reflect on your word and we center our hearts on how you are going to move and listen to the Spirit as He guides us and shapes us and challenges us, Father, we just ask that we open ourselves to You. Not to what we expect, but to You. Father, may we leave behind all of the stresses from this past week, and may we leave behind all of the expectations of what this next week brings, and the worries of what may be running through our mind of everything that's going on in our lives right now, and may we center our thoughts on You. Father, where we have fallen short, we come to You and say we're sorry. We're prepared to be moved by You. We're prepared to go out and be used by You. Because that's why we've gathered here. Father, that's why we're gathered here this day. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Once again, I want to say thank you for joining us in worship in our parking lot, and thank you for joining us on Facebook Live this morning for a new experience. We never knew how this was going to go, and we never know. You know, technology is a wonderful thing. We never know how technology is going to work, and when it works, it's great. When it doesn't work, it can be a thorn in our side. We had some technology issues yesterday, and we hopefully ironed those things out. And so hopefully you'll give us some leeway as we work through those things. And we're just thankful that you were able to join us for worship this day. And over the last couple weeks, a couple months, it's been a little bit uncomfortable. You ask Gay that, and she'll answer the same thing. It's been a little uncomfortable preaching in a sanctuary with not many gathered. And we thank you for your patience during that time. And we want to say thank you for that patience. We also want to say thank you for your prayers and your continued words of support over these months, because it has been a trying time for all of us, and we are moving forward. We're moving forward in prayer. We're moving forward in patience. We're moving forward in hope and expectation that our desire is that God is moving us ahead in a way that we're honoring our God. Most importantly, we're honoring the words and the prayers of our congregation. We're moving forward in a patient manner that we can make sure everyone is safe and meeting the needs of our congregation in the midst of this time. And so this is a step towards that ultimate goal. So thank you for joining us this morning, and we hope that this month will be an opportunity that we continue to move forward in the midst of that. Now, I will tell you, we are excited about this opportunity, but it may be a little uncomfortable. It may be a little bit unusual. It may be a little warm. Right? Amen to that? Amen to that. But that's okay. That's okay, because as we have all learned, sometimes being uncomfortable, being in a different setting, God might use and move in a different way. Because in the midst of being uncomfortable, and I like to use a different term for uncomfortable, because uncomfortable makes us get a little in a negative term. I like to use the word vulnerable. vulnerable. Because sitting outside on a Sunday morning for a worship service makes us feel vulnerable. What if one of the neighbors, most of the college students are gone, but what if one of the neighbors gets bothered by the noise that we might make on a Sunday morning? What if we don't get to sit in our favorite spot, in our favorite pew, on Sunday morning for worship? Can I hear an amen from my Back Road Baptist back there? Amen. Amen. What if Gay, who's inside right now, what if Gay hears me singing out here because I'm sitting a little bit closer on Sunday morning, and all of a sudden she realizes that I can sing and she wants me to come sit in the choir? Maybe I'm a little bit vulnerable. Maybe the person I'm sitting beside, I don't even know their name. Ooh. Maybe I might have to meet somebody new. Even in the midst of social distancing. Oh no. Maybe I might be a little bit vulnerable. We don't like that word, do we? We don't like that word of being vulnerable, because oftentimes that word vulnerable means we have to be, what is the term? What's the term for vulnerable? We have to be a little bit more open than we like to be. This morning we're going to read a scripture passage about a woman that was placed in a vulnerable situation. Not because she was expecting it, but because she just happened to be doing something that she did every single day. But she happened to run into the Messiah in doing that act. And by a conversation, all of a sudden, she was in a vulnerable situation. And because of that vulnerable situation, Jesus changed her life. But not just this Sunday, being outside, puts us in a vulnerable situation. But let me ask you a question that maybe we should be asking ourselves regularly on a Sunday morning. Do you feel vulnerable when you come to worship? Do you feel vulnerable when you come to worship, not just outside, but when you come to worship downstairs in that sanctuary that you've been attending, many of you, for decades, some of you for maybe just a few years, some of you maybe just for a few weeks? Do you feel vulnerable when you come to worship on Sunday morning? Have you ever asked that question? I'm going to ask you that question again. Maybe if you were attending a different church, you feel vulnerable. Maybe on a Sunday morning like this, you feel vulnerable. But maybe we all should be feeling vulnerable when we come to worship. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John. The wind is wreaking havoc this morning on my Bible, but we're going to read the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And this morning we're going to read two verses from a very popular passage, one that we've all probably read before, we've all heard the story. And this morning I'm actually going to read from the Message, and I hardly ever do this for a sermon, because the sermon, the Message, is a paraphrase by Eugene Peterson, and it's not a translation, but it's a paraphrase of Scripture. And but what Peterson does in this passage of Scripture, he captures the emotion behind this Scripture passage. And the emotion behind this passage in this conversation is what I want you to capture this morning. I want you to hear this morning. We're going to be reading chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. So if you have that with you, I encourage you to turn with that. It's going to be John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Pull it up on your phones. If you're at home this morning, John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And let me kind of catch you up with what's going on. This is the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And so the Samaritan woman is traveling to the well during the heat of the day. Heat of the day. It's actually in the afternoon. And so the Samaritan woman is traveling to the well during the heat of the day. This is the absolute worst time to be traveling to the well. And the reason why she is going to the well during the heat of the day is because she doesn't want to run into anybody. She is basically the outcast in her town. She lives a life that most people look down upon, even in the midst of the Samaritan village. She doesn't want to run into anybody, so she goes during the heat of the day to get her water. However, on this day, Jesus is sitting at the well wanting to get some water. The disciples have gone off to do run a couple errands for Jesus, and Jesus is sitting at the well that afternoon to get some water. So the Samaritan woman comes up and she sees this Jewish man. Jesus asks for some water, and she obliges by giving him some water. Now, this is a very unaccustomed type of encounter. Samaritan woman, Jewish man, you don't see this. This is already going against societal norms to start with. Jewish man, Samaritan woman, not a normal situation. But in the midst of this conversation, they go over some pretty unusual conversations. First off, the fact that he's a Jewish man, the fact that she's a Samaritan woman. They talk about some pretty interesting topics, but one of the topics they talk about is this idea of worship, understanding worship, the perception of worship between the Samaritans and the Jews. Now, Jesus talks about her living situation. He actually identifies her living situation without her saying a thing about it. So she already knows that, man, this gentleman is something beyond any ordinary gentleman. So Jesus is already starting to reveal who he is. But in their conversation about this idea, this concept of worship, her understanding of worship is all about location. Where are we supposed to worship? And her idea of worship is you're supposed to worship in a specific spot. The Samaritans were talking about worshiping on a mountain. The Jewish understanding was worshiping in Jerusalem at the temple. Now, Jesus shifts this understanding of where worship is supposed to happen, and he talks about this concept and this understanding of worship. And he says these words. Again, this is from the Message, reading verses 23 and 24. He says this: it's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being Himself, be it itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. You see, God wants us to be vulnerable before Him when we come to worship. Did you hear that? God wants us to be vulnerable to Him when we come to worship. Have you ever thought about that before? You know, when we get ready for worship, do we say to ourselves, okay, I put on my nice clothes, I make sure I look good, I brush my teeth, I comb my hair, I put my proper clothing on, oh, let me check, am I vulnerable? My guess is nobody checked that this morning before they came to worship, right? Raise your hand if you checked vulnerable off your list before you came to worship this morning. I got one hand over here. Amen. Vulnerability is something God wants us to do before we come to worship. The Samaritan woman did not know when she went to the well that day that she was sitting in the presence of the Messiah. She was simply going to get water. As the conversation continued, the realization came more clear that she was sitting with somebody special. However, in the conversation about worship, her focus about worship completely shifted. she moved from the idea of where I'm supposed to worship. I'm supposed to go worship on the mountain. We're supposed to go worship in the sanctuary. For the Jews, it was about worshiping in Jerusalem. For the Samaritans, it was about the mountain. For us, sometimes it's about the sanctuary. Because if we're not in the sanctuary or not in the church, it can't be true worship. Jesus was shifting the focus for this woman and shifting the focus for us that it no matters where the location is, it's about what's going on inside. That's what matters about worship. It matters about who we are and how we shape ourselves. For so long, it has been about this building or the church building. It's not about that. And that's what Jesus said over 2,000 years ago. It's not about the building. It's about what's going on inside. Now, don't get me wrong. It'd be a lot more comfortable if we were sitting in the building in air conditioning. But when we're in worship, in the Spirit, it's about being vulnerable to how He is moving. Whether we're in the parking lot, whether we're in a car, whether we're in a chair, whether we're in our home watching on Facebook Live, whether we're taking place in a large gathering of a lot of people, whether we're worshiping one-on-one with God individually, it's all about what's taking place inside of us. Because when we are vulnerable before God, we are ready to be moved by the Spirit. Verse 23 says, the Father is looking for those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in worship. He doesn't want the facade. He wants the true self. That's why Jesus was at the well that day for the Samaritan woman. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't a coincidence the disciples were sent off to run an errand. One of my favorite Christian authors is C.S. Lewis, and he penned these words about vulnerability when he's talking about relationships, but he says this, to love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. But that's not the kind of relationship we want. Think about it for a second. To get the most out of any kind of relationship, we have to make ourselves vulnerable to someone else. That's the kind of relationship we want to have with God. We have to do the same in worship. We have to be fully vulnerable to God when we come to worship. If we expect to not only receive the full effect from our worship experience, we have to be fully vulnerable when we enter into His presence. We can't expect to get our full experience out of worship if we don't become fully vulnerable to God. Have you ever left a worship service and said, man, I just didn't get it. I didn't get anything out of it. The words didn't speak to me. The sermon didn't speak to me. The songs just didn't speak to me. I just didn't get anything out of it. And we might start saying, well, Gay, you sure didn't pick good music that day. Amen. Man, I don't know what David was preaching. It was just not on. He didn't pick the right scripture passage. It just did not speak to me that day. We start pointing fingers at everybody else, but we think, were we vulnerable to the Spirit that day? The Samaritan woman became vulnerable through her conversation with Jesus during that afternoon visit at the well. All of a sudden, her faith, her life, her world was completely changed. Jesus made her vulnerable, and when she became vulnerable, the Spirit moved in her life. All because of her vulnerability in the presence of her Savior. Do we do this on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis? Did you do this when you came to worship today? But it didn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Vulnerability in worship is not just about how we come to worship, but it is how we express ourselves in worship. We can't just sit there. We can't just sit there with our arms crossed and say, "All right, Spirit, I'm ready for you to move us, but I'm not going to move at all in the midst of that experience. Now, Holy Spirit, you're going to move, but I'm not going to move as a part of it. You can set a fire underneath me, but I'm going to burn in the same spot that entire time. Move me, Spirit, but I am not going to move." Amen? Verse 24 says this, "Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, their adoration." The Samaritan woman was so wrapped up in this idea of location for worship that she forgot about how she expressed herself in the midst of worship. You know, God wants us to be genuine in how we worship in our worship experience. Not all of us worship the same way. Gay and I do not worship the same way. We have conversations each week about how we experience our worship experience. But that's okay. Not one of us worship the exact same way. Nobody, even couples, don't worship the exact same way. We all worship differently, but we have to be willing to worship openly in that way because the Spirit is going to move us. So we can't expect to, on a Sunday morning, to come and expect everybody to worship the exact same way. When the Spirit moves, move with the Spirit. If that means tapping your feet, then tap your feet. If that means clapping your hands, clap your hands. If that means throwing your hand up in the air, throw your hand up in the air. That doesn't mean everybody around you needs to throw your hand up in the air, because if the Spirit's not moving to throw your hand up in the air, don't throw your hand up in the air. But we all worship differently. And that's what verse 24 says. Worship with your true selves, your true selves. However the Spirit is moving, do it. When we pray to God, He wants us to pray in adoration. When we respond to Him following a sermon, He wants us to be truthful. Each of one of us is different. We cannot expect each service to go the same way. You know, when we come to a time in the service that a sermon is being preached, or we're going through a prayer and you feel led to come to the altar, whether it's the altar call or any time else, come to the altar. The altar is not mine. The altar is God's. So if you feel led to come to the altar in the midst of a prayer, come to the altar. It doesn't have to be at the end of the service, because the altar is God's. Because if the Spirit is calling you to come, come. Go. Follow the Spirit, because that's what the Spirit is calling us to do. Be honest and open. Be honest and open to the Spirit. Worship is also beyond just 1 hour on Sunday mornings. Worship is how we carry ourselves on a daily basis. The Samaritan woman was going to the well that afternoon. That was an act of worship. She didn't even realize it that day, but her going to the well in the middle of the afternoon was worship. Jesus turned it into a worship experience. I'm sure every day after that day, every time she went to the well, it became a worship experience. The way we encounter our work day, whether it's in the office, in our home, or in our neighborhood, it is an act of worship. How we approach God in these acts, when we become vulnerable to the Spirit in truth and honesty, it goes a long way to how we work, how He works in us and through us. And you know how it works the best? It's when we become vulnerable. You see, vulnerability is a state that we often do not like to live in. We don't like to be there. We don't like to live in that state of vulnerability. But one that Jesus Christ encourages as we enter into his presence for worship. The Samaritan woman was not expecting to be vulnerable when she went to the well that afternoon. But her view of worship changed that day, and her life and her ministry brought salvation not only to herself, but to her city and to her people that day. You know, as we gather in this new setting for basically a month, we're going to be feeling a little vulnerable. But that's okay. But no matter where we gather, whether we're gathering in a sanctuary, whether we're gathering in a parking lot, whether we're gathering at home, whether we're gathering in a crowd of people, whether we're gathering by ourselves, Christ wants us to be vulnerable to him when we come to worship, and to be vulnerable in how we express ourselves in worship. Not just on Sunday mornings, but every single moment of every single day. Because the Father wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. So, this morning, I ask you that question that I asked you at the beginning of the sermon. Do you feel vulnerable when you come to worship? Let us pray. Father, I admit there are times when I come to worship that vulnerability is the last thing I think of. But I know that it should be the very first thing on my list. I thank you for that Samaritan woman who, by a simple conversation by the well that warm afternoon, had a life that was changed, and that taught me a lesson. A lesson about daily worship and a lesson about life worship. May we take that lesson to heart, not just on Sunday mornings, but every single day of our lives. May we become vulnerable to the Spirit. And may that change us in a way beyond what we could possibly understand. Father, the Spirit is moving. May we listen and respond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If the Spirit is moving in your life this day, and you've had the Spirit move over these last couple months, or maybe he's moving in a special way this day, as I said, the altar is always open. It's always open. And it's his altar. It's not my altar. It's his altar. As we sing this invitation hymn in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of social distancing, come forward at this time. Join us in singing. Stand as we sing this closing hymn. Stand and let's sing, Father, I adore you. Thank you. as we leave today, again, we want to thank you for coming out to our first outside worship, and we look forward to continuing. We're praying for good weather in the coming weeks. We will be doing this outside worship the entire month of June. As you leave today, again, if you have not picked up any of the Sunday school literature, the devotional material that we order throughout the week, you can drive down the lower parking lot, and I will meet you down at the door down below, and I will get that material to you. If you've already picked that material up, you're welcome to exit the parking lot at the above parking lot this way. Again, if you're willing to stay and help clean up some of the material up here, to bring the technology equipment and all that stuff, we would appreciate your assistance. But again, we are excited about the opportunity to gather back together. And again, thank you for all those that have joined us on Facebook Live this morning. We look forward to continuing to do the streaming service. The worship service will be placed on the website at www.fbc-elon.org. It will be placed on the website a little bit later, earlier this week. Each week, the order of worship will be placed, emailed out, and will be placed on the website, so you can access that towards the end of the week, so you'll have to be ready for next week's worship service. Again, 2 o'clock this afternoon, Facebook Live, if you want to observe and participate in that worship experience as we have the baptismal service for Carlos Dishman. We'll look forward to that opportunity this afternoon. Let us pray as we go out. Father, may the Spirit move us just like it moved in the life of the Samaritan woman. May we be moved by the Spirit. May we be vulnerable to the Spirit in a way that only we can, and only you can move us. Father, we just look forward to the opportunities that this week brings us. Keep us safe, keep us motivated, and may we be directed by you. May we go in peace today. Amen.